From the Ground Farmers Market Collective is your source for fresh local produce, homemade baked goods, and artisan crafts all summer long. Our market locations accept multiple payment options, including credit, debit, and bridge cards. We hope to see you at our farmers markets in Houghton on Tuesdays 4 to 7, Hancock on Thursdays 3 to 6, and in Calumet on Saturdays from 10 to 2. Visit fromthegroundfmc.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by Portage Health Foundation.
Good morning once again. It's Sunday and it's time for Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Thank you for tuning in. Our program is, as always, brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can find out more about them at phfgive.org. A couple of things going on made me reach out to Dial Help, and Chrissy Martins from Dial Help joins me in the first segment of the program this morning. We're going to talk about suicide in just a few minutes. That's been a prevalent problem in our community for a long time and doesn't seem to be abating too much. This is Suicide Awareness Month, so we'll get the latest information from Chrissy and Dial Help about that. But first, we're going to talk about Dial Help wanting your help to shape their programs for our community. So, Chrissy Martins, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You have released your community ascertainment survey, I think is what you're calling it. Why is it important to know what people are thinking about Dial Help out in the outside world?
Well, there's a few reasons it's important. One reason is that this is information that we don't normally get from people that are seeking services from us. So, you know, how did you hear about us? What programs are you aware of? And that kind of thing. And it helps us to guide what we might want to do in the future, what grants we might be looking for. One of the questions we ask is, what would you like Dial Help to focus on? And that helps us decide where our focus should be. What is the community asking us to do? Because we want to be here for the community and support everyone who's here.
Is it challenging to ask people what they need who maybe never have needed it or won't really know what that need looks like when suddenly it comes up?
Well, that's, I think there's two things there, too. One thing we want to know is, have you heard of us? And if you have heard of us, what do you know about our services? What do you know that Dial Help does? A lot of people know that Dial Help has a crisis line, but they may not be aware that that crisis line also has a safety net program, or that we do some services for victims of crime and that kind of thing. So we'd like to get the word out about that as well. So when we ask, you know, what is the feedback from the community about what our services are? Do you know about all of our services? Because then that helps us think through, well, you know, not very many people know that we have free services for victims of crime. And that might be something we need to focus on so that more people in the community know about that, because then when they might need those services, they know they're available.
And obviously there are some questions on it that have to do with people who have received Dial Help services and the quality of those services. So it's important to hear from them as well.
Absolutely. So like I said, you know, on the crisis line, you know, generally speaking, someone calls in and we talk to them, and, you know, it's a little set amount of time, and then we might not hear from that person again. And we'd like to know, you know, how was that service for you? Did it meet your expectations? Is there something you want from us that we weren't able to provide, so that we can, you know, look at that as well? And we really use it as our quality assurance measures to improve the services that we offer to the community.
You know, Go ahead, Chrissy.
We want to know honestly what you thought of those services. If they met your expectations, and if they didn't, we want to know that as well.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about the number of, I guess you could call them, drive-by encounters that you have with people who pick up the phone and call once or text in once or maybe twice, and then you never hear from them again. I suppose it leaves you wondering, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, based on some of the other things that we do, you know, we might have an encounter with someone very briefly, even in person, you know, not so maybe not over the phone, but I'm thinking like in our victim services and programs like that, that we may not have had a chance to get a lot of feedback from the person because they were in crisis, you know, so they're not going to take time to say, oh, you know, this is how I felt about that, because we're focusing on the person right now. And so we want to hear that feedback from them.
Yeah, while you're grieving the loss of your loved one and feeling absolutely terrible about it, would you mind filling out our survey? It probably doesn't work, does it?
No, and we don't ask people to do that in that moment either, but you know, it is important for us to know if we did a good job.
Do you get surprises from surveys such as these? Because I know you've done this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we call it our stakeholder survey, and we consider all members of the community stakeholders in what we do. And so the feedback is really important. And yes, sometimes we do get surprises. One thing that we had heard a few years ago, and this was before the pandemic had started, was that there weren't enough services for youth in schools, and it just for youth in the community. And we had, you know, kind of been hearing that and wondering, you know, how could we help fill that gap and what could we do? And so really, as some feedback from our stakeholder survey, from stakeholders in the community, we were able to start a program at Dial Help called, it started out as called our Youth One Stop, and now it's called Success Coaching. And we have trained Dial Help staff that have set office hours in some of our local schools here to just talk with kids and help them process through some feelings that they might be having, or maybe a big life event that just happened, you know, good or bad. And that was something that came directly out of with some feedback from the stakeholder survey.
So it's an important thing for community members to be involved in this. How can they get involved in this? Where can they find the survey?
The survey is on our website at dialhelp.org, or it's on our Facebook page.
And I have taken a look at it. It's not going to take you more than about 5 or 6 hours to fill it out. So
more like maybe 5 minutes to fill it out. It's pretty short, and we use a lot of scales. You know, did you rate it as well or not so well? And we do have some areas for you know, more feedback if you'd like to write it out and tell us about it.
And for those who have not received Dial Help services, there will be questions that are, I guess, really not appropriate to answer, and you just skip those, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if you've never received Dial Help services, there are questions in there about, have you ever heard of Dial Help? And what do you know that we do? And what might you want us to focus on?
Talking with Chrissy Martins from Dial Help. Again, if you want to participate in the community survey, please go to their website. What's the website name, Chrissy?
Dialhelp.org.
Pretty simple. Go there and fill it out and take a few minutes. And really, that's all it's going to take you is 3, 4, 5 minutes at the most. And it's really, really helpful. And it could, in fact, you know, it could set up something that would save somebody's life at some point. Let's talk about, you alluded to this a moment ago with the program that you've established in our local schools. Kids are back in school now. We had, again, last year in our region, several youth suicides. This is a tragedy that just doesn't seem to go away. As kids are going back to school, let me ask you first this. If I'm a mom or a dad or somebody who's involved in the life of a young person, and that young person is struggling, what do I look for? What signs might I see?
Especially in our youth, well, in anybody really, we would be looking for a change, some change in behavior. And it could be really big. It could be, you know, a loss of interest in things that somebody used to do, some things that somebody used to have a lot of, find a lot of joy in. And it could also be a change, you know, I think a lot of people know that, you know, they're sleeping too little or too much, eating too little or too much. It could be things like just being really withdrawn, which sometimes people think is a normal behavior for adolescents, especially becoming more withdrawn and kind of moody. And some of that does come with aging. But the only way to know really, and we teach people this, the only way really to know what that behavior means is to ask. You just have to ask. If you see something, you know, that draws your attention, you want to ask about it.
How do you ask in such a fashion that you will get an honest answer? Because a teenager is going to be perhaps a little reluctant to share deep feelings. They don't want to appear weak or you know, problematic. How do you probe so that you can really get an honest answer from them?
Well, I think in the beginning, if you see a change in behavior, you know, just asking in a way that's, to begin the conversation, just to ask in a way that's not judgmental and not in a confrontational way, I would say, but in just be curious, just to be curious about the behavior that you're seeing. And just to open up the conversation with, you know, hey, I noticed, you know, you're not doing this anymore. Tell me more about that. You know, what's going on with you? I really want to know. So to ask in a way that, you know, you really want to know what the answer is, and especially to remember non-judgmental. And of course, especially in that adolescent age, it could be really hard to get them to open up and share feelings. And sometimes it feels like you're pulling teeth, and I've been there, and I hear that. but just to create that supportive environment where they can talk to you. And if you hear some language or you're really concerned that this could be, that you have someone here who might be thinking about suicide, you want to ask clearly and directly. And a clear and direct ask about suicide is, are you thinking about suicide? Sometimes we ask in a way that might not be very clear and direct, and we really think we're asking about suicide, but we're not. And that might be something like, you're not thinking of hurting yourself, are you? You know? And you might get you a direct answer about suicide, but more often than not, it probably isn't. So if you are concerned about suicide, you definitely want to ask in a clear and direct way.
My experience in doing interviews on the topics, because obviously I don't have any kind of the background that you have, so correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy, but my experience is that there are some people who kind of travel down that suicide path, not really wanting to, but as a cry for help. And there are some people who are perhaps legitimately serious about it. If I'm legitimately serious about it, am I going to answer that question, are you planning to commit suicide, honestly, or am I just going to lie and then go do it?
So, there's a couple things there, I think. And one thing is, we know when we open up for honest conversation, we can honestly help. And when we create that environment where we're supportive and we're non-judgmental, someone who is thinking about suicide will talk to us about that. And we know that asking clearly and directly about suicide does prevent suicide. And so the conversation is always worth having. And I should mention, too, you know, if this is something that you're worried about, or you're kind of wondering, like, how do I approach this conversation? You can call our crisis line, and our the person who works on our crisis line would be very happy to talk with you about how to open up the conversation with the person in your life that you're worried about. And of course, they're always there as a support for that person as well. But we know asking clearly and directly does save lives.
I've done a number of discussions on this program about suicide and about the things that go lead up to it. And yet it doesn't seem to be, we still have the problem. What more steps do we need to take to try to make sure, particularly with our young kids in school, what more steps do we need to take to make sure that they understand that there are people out there who do care about them legitimately? Because that's one of the problems with depression, is that you become absolutely convinced that nobody cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
How do we crack that shell?
Well, that is a fantastic question. And if I knew the answer to that question, we would have a 100% safe community. So,
and you'd write a book and become a very rich and wealthy person, too.
I suppose that would happen as well.
Yeah, because it really is the $64 question. Mental illness, it creates within the person who is suffering from it a whole sense of false reality, doesn't it?
It does. And the longer that, you know, especially when someone's thinking about suicide, we kind of use the analogy of the horse with the blinders on them, and that the longer that person is thinking about suicide, the narrower and narrower those blinders get. And even if there is a ton of family and a ton of people that care about them, just in the periphery of those blinders, they can't see it and they don't feel supported. And the thing about asking clearly and directly and being curious about some behavior you might see, it helps to open those blinders up, and it does help the person to see that there are people around them that care about them, and it does help them feel supported, which does decrease the risk of suicide.
Okay, and I can see how asking that pointed question would do that, talking with Chrissy Martins from Dial Help. It's got to be tough, though, to ask that question, because obviously, you know, if I'm asking it of someone, I'm putting myself out and could get a backlash from them.
Well, when we, you know, when we're talking with people about suicide and we're, you know, telling people to ask that question clearly and directly, if the answer is no, then, well, maybe something else is going on. It's not suicide, but we still want to have the conversation, you know, a conversation with that person and see how they're doing. And of all the years and all the experience that all of us at Dial Help have asking the question, are you thinking about suicide? I won't say 100% all of the time, but almost all of the time, the person's not mad at us.
Well, and that's reassuring to pass on to people who might be fearful of asking the question, that you're probably not going to get your head bit off. You're probably not going to lose a friendship or a family relationship if you just ask the question.
Mm-hmm. And ask it in such a way that is, you know, supportive and in a way that you want an answer. And that, you know, if the answer is yes, you could always, you know, call our crisis line and we can help continue on with the person and help to make sure we can keep the person safe.
So let's say I'm concerned about somebody. I see it as a third party. I'm very concerned that something might happen imminently, but the person has not been approachable. The person has not opened up to me. Is there some action I can take as a third party to bring in somebody to push that person towards some kind of help? What do I do if I see an accident about to happen or a crisis about to happen and I'm helpless to prevent it?
Well, I think there's a couple of things you can do. You can always let the person know that, hey, you know, I can see you don't want to talk to me right now, but I'm here if you did. But here is this crisis line called Dial Help. And, you know, it's anonymous. And if you wanted to give them a call or a text, they'd be, you know, happy to talk with you. And it might be easier to talk with them than maybe with me. If the important thing is if someone has done something already to harm themselves, so perhaps they took pills or something, you know, obviously to call 911 and make sure you get them, you know, medical attention right away.
Oh, absolutely. Talking with Chrissy Martins from Dial Help. This is, of course, as we mentioned, Suicide Awareness Month. We've kind of focused on young people, but this advice pretty much goes to everybody all the way up through seniors, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
So let's talk about a few of the other things that Dial Help offers as we have you on the line here. I know that one of the things, and you alluded to this a moment or so ago, that, and I think this came from one of your earlier surveys that you did, the community ascertainment surveys, is that you expanded from just being a telephone service to several other types of communications as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One program that we have is, you know, obviously we have the crisis line, and then we started a safety net program where if we're talking with someone on the phone that is thinking about suicide, but we were, you know, able to make a plan to keep them safe, or if they couldn't commit to safety, we made a plan to get them to the hospital so that they can get some immediate help. Then we have someone on our end at Dial Help who can follow up with the person. And that follow-up includes linking them with resources and checking in with them to, you know, see how the getting in touch with all the resources is going, and hopefully to get them connected with some more support in the community so that they can stay safe.
But it's not just a phone call needed anymore. You can text, you can chat.
Mm-hmm. So we have texting and instant messaging, and all of those are available with our crisis line. And then the safety net program is available by phone and by texting.
You continue to work with victims of crime. You mentioned that earlier, particularly, I think, victims of spousal abuse, sexual abuse and attack, things of that nature. How do people who have been victimized by crime get in touch, and what kind of services can you offer there?
Okay. So you can get in touch by calling our crisis line or texting or instant messaging in. That works, too. And so Dial Help primarily works with victims of sexual assault. That's our part of that program. And then we do work collaboratively with our shelters, so the Barbara Kettle Gunlock Shelter and the Verga County Shelter Home. Those two organizations work primarily with domestic violence. And then we have the sexual violence side. And we also have some support for victims of any crime, so even things like identity theft or stalking and things like that, we can help folks with as well. And like I said, you just get in touch through our crisis line. And so we have advocacy, so you have someone in your corner that can support you and kind of help walk you through some of the steps involved in maybe getting, if it was stalking or something like that, getting a PPO. And then we have, support if, you were impacted by a crime, filling out a victim impact statement, maybe getting some crime victims compensation. We can help fill out that paperwork and things like that. Also, if you had a case that was going to go through the court system, you would have someone, an advocate, who could come with you and be present with you in court.
The sexual assault cases, obviously, someone reports that there's a litany of things that have to be gone through in terms of garnering evidence and interviews and things of that nature. At what point in that process can your people be brought in?
Right in the beginning. And especially in the case of sexual assaults, when we are usually present right from the beginning when someone presents at an emergency department, perhaps seeking some medical care, we can be an advocate starting there. Or afterwards, we can step in any part of the process when the person feels comfortable bringing us in there. And then we also did open in September of 2020, we did open our child advocacy center here at Dial Help, and that's a whole other arm of our victim service department that works with, it's called an MDT, a multidisciplinary team, which is made up of healthcare, law enforcement, child protective services, mental health services, and what we're called our forensic interviewers here at Dial Help. And that is a whole different approach to investigating sexual assault crimes against children.
So if you are involved in a case like that, call Dial Help immediately. Do local responders, police officers, law enforcement officers, do they know about this? Would they encourage this kind of a call?
Yep. So we have kind of two programs going on. The one I was talking about previously was sort of more for the adult side. The Child Advocacy Center is a collaborative approach with all of law enforcement in our area. And like I said, we've been open since September of 2020. And cases that go through our Child Advocacy Center are direct referrals from law enforcement and from Child Protective Services. And it's just a whole different approach to working with youth who have been assaulted.
All right. I'm looking at your most recent quarterly report, and it said this quarter, 62 volunteers provided 2,291 hours of service. Do you need additional volunteers to help make Dial Help work?
Yeah, so we're always looking for people who might be interested in volunteering at Dial Help. And there's lots of different things to do, especially right now with our communities that care. We're always looking for volunteers to join on those groups and to join the events. And we're always happy to work with people.
Do people need to have any special kind of training to work with Dial Help to volunteer?
Nope, we provide the training, and the volunteers for Dial Help just need to be able to pass some background checks.
All right, so if you want to get in touch with Dial Help and volunteer to help out, how do you do that?
It's you can go to our website, and under our More button, there's a volunteer link, and you can press on that, and it'll take you through all the steps.
And if you are in crisis right now and you need someone to talk to, you need some assistance, how do you contact Dial Help for that?
You can just give us a call. You can find us on our website. You could give us a call at 482-4357. You can text us at 356-3337 or just at dialhelp.org if you wanted to start a chat.
All right, Chrissy Martins, thank you so much for the good information, and we hope that the good work of Dial Help continues. And in wrapping up here once again, the community survey that you'd like to have people fill out, the stakeholder survey, you can get that at dialhelp.org. It will take you only a few minutes to fill that out. It is something that could develop, could, like you've heard Chrissy mention, could spur them to develop a new program that could help a lot of people in the community. So please take a few moments, go and fill that out. Is there a date by which that needs to be done, Chrissy?
Oh, that is a great question. And I believe it's going to be up for 2 more weeks.
Okay, so get that taken care of as quickly as possible. And Chrissy Martins, thank you for your time on Copper Country Today.
Oh, thanks for having us today.
And Copper Country Today will continue in a moment, brought to you, of course, by the Portage Health Foundation.